Praise God. Amen. Good evening, everyone, and I'm so glad that you're here. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to share a few things with you, and then we're going to go to the Word. So I'm going to get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that justice is coming. I thank you, Lord, that we are seeing justice. I thank you, Father God, that you are exposing the enemy. You're exposing the elite. You're exposing the deep state. I thank you, Father, that you're bringing about your justice. And they think they're averting true justice by the steps they're taking. But you, oh God, are releasing the hammer of your justice. I thank you, Father God, that you bring victory just as you promised. Settle things around us as we go to your word, as we pray tonight, and let us focus on what you've brought us here to do. Be our teacher, our guide. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So tonight's message is entitled, When the Hammer of Justice Falls. The last 2 weeks I've shared dreams and visions that the Lord has given to help us prepare for the shaking that we're headed into. Last night, Mom brought both warnings and great encouragement to stay the course in the midst of the shaking. And why is it so important? Because the call of the intercessor is to bring stability to a nation in the midst of the shaking. We must press through on behalf of our nations, the church, and our posterity. In other words, our children. So tonight, I want to bring further encouragement along with some instruction from the Word on how to stay the course. On Wednesday, just 2 days ago, I had a vision of a huge hammer coming down on the land. And when I asked the Lord what this was, he said, the hammer of justice is falling. And as I saw this, I felt the shift or the reverberation in the spirit from this hammer of justice. So when his justice falls, we will feel its force. We will see its force, not like what we're seeing with Hunter Biden right now. We're going to see justice fall. It's going to fall in several realms. We'll see it in the media and entertainment. We'll see it in the government and the political realm. We'll see it in the educational realm, the financial realm, the church, and in the area of bloodletting, which involves both human trafficking and abortion. In October of 2021, the Lord took me through an experience, and it's the hurricane of justice. And he said that it was coming, and the church needed to prepare. And by the end of the season, the end of that hurricane of justice, we would feel the fear of God as it fell upon this nation like never before. This is the reverential fear and awe of God, one that makes men quake at the thought of sinning against God. Now, we as a nation, in any of our generations, we have not felt the fear and reverential awe of God. This is a when you feel the reverential fear of God, it doesn't just prick your heart. Your heart is stricken at the thought of sinning against God, at the thought of sinning against your fellow man. It stirs emotions within you that halts you. This God is going to bring back to our nation. Reverend Finney had such an anointing on his life. When he came into a town, the people would fall on their face and begin repenting for their sins because of the mantle that he carried. It brought people to true conviction for their sins. This is something that we will see and experience in the days ahead. So let me touch on a few of the realms that the Lord is saying we're going to experience the hammer of justice. Abortion. In May of last year, the Lord told me the gavel of justice was coming. At that time, I shared a dream that he had given me about the fear of God piercing the soul when abortion was overturned. Abortion was officially overturned June 24th of 2022. Leaders who fear God immediately sought legislation to protect the life of the preborn in their state. That's what takes place when you fear God. You immediately go to protect what you can and where you can. Those who do not fear God pursued and expanded abortion. And you may think, you know, where is justice for the unborn in those states? But through this season, God is revealing their true intentions, their hearts, and it's awakening people to the truth about abortion. God is allowing them to overplay their hand. And during this season, it's wisdom to pray for God to unite the heart of the mothers and fathers to their children, that they will not make use of those unjust laws. In the political realm, we've seen this in the three-letter agencies over the last 2 years, raiding homes of righteous men while the unrighteous seem to go free. When evil men become arrogant, when their hearts are hardened against God and man, they overplay their hand, and through that process, they expose the evil intentions of their hearts for all to see. We see this in the life of Saul as he pursued David in 1 Samuel. He spent years utilizing untold resources and calling upon countless soldiers to pursue David, the anointed one, and yet he did not prevail. Why? Because David was God's anointed, and God was going to protect David. God delivered Saul into David's hand twice, and yet David, more noble than Saul, refused to take the life of Saul. Even King Saul admitted to his own evil intentions. That sounds really familiar, much like what we've seen in our country over the last several years. Those in the political realm are blind as to how exposed they become in their pursuit of President Trump. If they don't end up in jail, they will fade from the pages of history with their legacy synonymous with evil intentions and unjust pursuits. That's what we think of Saul. King Saul, he actually did some mighty things for the nation of Israel. But when we think about him, we think about his ungodly and unjust pursuit of David. We think about the foolish things that he did. And we think about how, in the latter part of his life, he not only failed God, but he failed his country. He failed his children. That's the legacy that he's left behind. We're seeing today in Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and those who persecuted President Trump, the exact same thing. Pelosi is fading from the pages of history as a drunk. That's her legacy today. Adam Schiff is going to fade from the pages of history as a man that was nearly impotent in his effectiveness the last decade of his career in the House. He's been censured, one of only 25 in the history of our country. He's been censured. What does that mean? He can't sit on committees? It means that he cannot be a part of making important decisions for our nation. Often those that have been censured will resign early. In the governmental realm, yesterday I was watching some news clips, and as the House questioned John Durham, the title of the video was "Wesley Hunt Drops the Hammer on Hunter Biden at a John Durham Hearing." And the Lord had already told me that the hammer of justice was coming. We saw what I often refer to as the bulldogs of Congress, that's Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, Tim Scott, Marjorie Taylor Greene, exposing the criminal activities of corrupt politicians like the Clintons and the Bidens for all to see. Tim Scott said, "We have a two-tiered justice system and the people want to know why." And I had a dream. It's been 2 years now that Biden's time was up. The word of the Lord was, "Biden, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." As he continues to boast, "I am the Democrat Party." I believe this word from the Lord is pouring out over the Democrat Party. Why? This party's public platform is built on the deepest of sin and depravity, abortion and the LGBTQ plus agenda. Anytime you hear them speak, that is their focus. Not more jobs, not building up the economy, but on furthering women's health and their ability to obtain safe and legal abortion. Who's it safe and legal for? The woman. The baby dies every time. Or furthering the LGBTQ plus agenda, their rights. So their only concern is for a very small portion of our country. And to do what for them? What exactly is their goal? Do you know that Planned Parenthood, they're losing money because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade? They're closing up shops in state after state after state. Why? Because their concern is not women's health. They say, "We're here for cancer screening. We're here for women's reproductive health so that they can have the proper care that they need at little or no cost." But yet when abortion is outlawed in the state they're in, they have to leave. Why? Because the bulk of their money comes from abortions. And now, that with a transgender agenda, they're able to distribute the hormone blocking medication to children. They're able to distribute it to anybody without a psyche valve, and that is bumping up their profits. This is what the Democrat Party stands for today. Whistleblowers are coming forward to expose the Bidens in an unprecedented way. And we've got to continue to pray for them to come forward and continue to pray for their protection. Because the hammer of justice is falling not only on the Biden crime family, but the hammer of justice is going to fall on the Democrat Party because of what they've done. In many, many arenas. In the realm of finance, this week, James O'Keefe released footage of a BlackRock employee gloating over their quest for money at the expense of the general population, which he referred to as too stupid to understand. He also boasted that war was good for business. So they promote and provoke wars to increase their profits. Why is this important to know? Because it's bringing the hammer of justice down on companies like BlackRock and Vanguard. It's also been exposed that to partner with a company like BlackRock, like Vanguard, or to receive funding through any bank linked with BlackRock and Vanguard, you have to sign a D&I agreement. What is a D&I agreement? I'm glad you asked. Diversity and inclusion. This doesn't just refer to minorities. They've added the LGBTQIA plus to this inclusion. In fact, to receive federal funding for anything like schools or payroll protection program that was offered during COVID lockdowns requires you to sign such an agreement that you will have adequate representation of the LGBTQ plus in your organization. Adequate representation. Grants offered by companies associated with the government or BlackRock affiliated organizations often require the signing of such agreements. That's why we see Target, Bud Light, the Dodgers, and so on pushing this agenda so hard. They've signed contracts requiring them to do so. They may lose money on the front end, but BlackRock and Vanguard are in place to rescue them from the financial ruin. And then BlackRock buy shares in these organizations when they tank on the market. And then when they go back up, they sell. BlackRock is making money regardless. They don't care. We need to pray for a dissolution of these contracts and an exposing of this agenda in greater measure. Okay, now the next realm is human trafficking. When I saw the hammer of justice fall, I saw it fall upon the crime of human trafficking, and it shattered their network. I was shaking violently as I witnessed this strike. I saw every realm involved exposed. I saw schools, government agencies like Child Protective Services, various medical fields, cartels, pastors. Even as I prepared this message, I felt the hammer of justice falling and the great dread that we'll experience as a nation. As a body of Christ, especially as intercessors, we will feel the wounds of the victims, and we must pray for the healing of the soul of not only America, but the nations of the earth. This is worldwide, and we need to pray for all nations. Friends, our children are trapped in a tremendous Holocaust right now, and few know or understand the extent of what that even means. It's so dark and it's so painful that people will cry out for the mercy of God to fall, lest the hammer of justice strike them too. I was praying over human trafficking, and the Lord gave me a vision. I saw the Lord raging through tunnels, searching for the victims of human trafficking. I've never seen such determined passion in his movements as he searched to set the captives free. He was tossing furniture like they were made of cardboard, overturning great objects and rocks, blazing through mountains, all to search for his children. As he went, he burned the network that connected each trafficking cell in order to prepare and eliminate this crime against humanity. He went in the dark places to set them free, to heal them, and to restore them. To do what man cannot do. On Wednesday, I watched an interview that Jim Caviezel did. He was talking about his upcoming film, The Sound of Freedom. It comes out July 4th. I encourage you to go see this and support this film. The film depicts the life of Tim Ballard of Operation Rescue, Operation Underground Railroad, where they do rescues. They've been rescuing victims, especially children, for the last several years. And when I asked the Lord, when he was asked why the pushback on the release of this film, he replied, the same reason they tried to stop the release of The Passion. It exposes the truth. This film will expose the truth about human trafficking, adrenochrome, organ harvesting, everything. He said Trump tried to tell people what was really going on, and that's why they went after him. He said he, meaning Jim, cannot unsee what he learned making this film. As I watched that interview, I saw a man who was wrecked because of what he'd seen just playing the part of Tim Ballard and working with the teams that go in and rescue victims. What he saw was so severe, he himself had to go through counseling to work through the emotions he experienced. And I watched that in him throughout this interview. He is in utter anguish. So why is this important, again, for us to hear today? Because the hurricane of justice, the gavel of justice, and now the hammer of justice, each level brings an increase in exposure, and as a result, greater shaking. How? Think about the last time you pulled out a weed. I pulled one out of my garden recently, and it seemed average, maybe 4 or 5 inches in height. But as I pulled it, the soil became disrupted. It broke apart several inches on either side. The roots of that weed were 7 to 12 inches in length, and I was left with soil disruption spanning at least 12 inches in width. I had to pack it all down after pulling out that root. The same holds true for corruption. When you pull out the roots of corruption, it disrupts the good soil around it. Once the corruption is removed, the good soil must settle back in place and in some cases be rebuilt. That's the work of revolution and restoration. Friends, we're about to see exposure like we've never seen before. And I've shared the last 2 weeks on the rebirth of a nation and a nation in distress, so we can see what God is doing in this hour through the very shaking Mom and I have been preparing you for. So how do we prepare and respond to what's coming? Throughout this time, it's important for us to follow the word of God, walk in obedience, and pray for boldness. In Acts chapter 2, we see right after Peter and John came to Solomon's court, and they remember the young man was there, well, he was 40 years of age, was there begging for alms. And when he held out his hand, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he reached down and took his hand, and up came this man. God brought strength to his limbs that had never been used. So now they're before the council as a result of this. Well, not just the healing, they're before the council because they were preaching the gospel. So they were detained, and here we are in chapter 4. So as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now I'm in verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold until next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So this was a big deal. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it made known unto you all. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I think that's so beautiful, is that Peter and John are there because they preach the gospel, and they're going to preach the gospel to the council. So now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You know, it kind of sounds like when they try to silence us when we're speaking the truth. It kind of feels like that. But Peter and John answered, verse 19, and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the holy child Jesus." So they were told by the council to stop talking about Jesus, and they went and reported it to their group and said, "Lord, give us more boldness. Give us the courage. Let your anointing pour forth, and Lord God, let your power come forth that more healings can be done." Why? So that they can speak the name of Jesus in the midst of every person within earshot. And if they can be brought before the council again and again, I can promise you they would do it. Why? Because they want to see them saved too. We need this kind of boldness. We need this kind of fire in us that no matter how someone tries to silence or stop us from preaching the word, from ministering to those in need, from serving the body of Christ, we will not relent. Verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. People use that scripture to try to push for socialism, by the way. And that's not socialism. If you got saved in Israel at this time, your family had a funeral for you. You were dead to them. You could not buy or sell in Jerusalem. Their businesses would be shut down. Their ability to earn a living, because people would shun them because they accepted Jesus, because they spoke about Jesus, and God miraculously made a way to provide for them. This is not socialism. This is God's method of helping them to survive in the midst of the persecution. So there are 7 points I want to address in this passage really quickly. Because of prayer, their time with the Word or Jesus and the impartation of the Holy Spirit, Peter and John, when they spoke to the council, they walked in wisdom. They walked in wisdom. They said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. You judge it. Because even the council would know that we have to fear and obey God first. Secondly, they walked in obedience to God in spite of man's threats. Chapter 4, verse 20, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It took great courage. They were put in a hole. They were put in the inner chamber of the prison. Each time they were brought in, they would be whipped. They would put them deeper and deeper into the prison. Why? Because they kept getting out. We see this a couple chapters down when Peter is arrested and he's chained to two guards on either side, stripped of his clothes, stripped of his shoes, so that there would be no way for him to escape. And an angel came in, opened the doors, told him to get dressed, and escorted him out. This is what God does for those that walk in obedience to his word. They walk in obedience to God in spite of the threat of man. I believe that COVID, these lockdowns, I pray, has taught us something. There is a time when we must obey God over man. And when it comes to our church, those church doors, they must be open. People were hurting, and they were scared. If Costco, if the bar down the street, if the strip club on the corner can be open, that church surely can be open for business, for the hurting, the lost, and the lonely to come and find hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three. In the midst of the persecution, they prayed for boldness. And now, Lord, behold their threatening and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Give us more boldness than we had, Lord. That's what they're asking for, by stretching forth your hand to heal people. Why? So they would have greater opportunity to minister the hope that is found in Jesus. Number four, they awaited God's response. We often will pray, we don't await God's response and follow his orders. And that will get us in more trouble than what we realize. They waited for God's response. Verse 31 says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Wait for God, and he will give you what you need. Number five, they walked as one, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. Listen, the enemy will do everything he can to divide. I'm not saying and conquer. He divides to conquer. As the body of Christ, it's more important than ever that we do not allow him to divide us. Reject it at every turn. Number six, they received and utilized the great power given them to the work of the kingdom of heaven. They went before the council. They were beaten. They were imprisoned several more times before Stephen was stoned and the dispersion happened. And even in the martyrdom of Stephen, even in his martyrdom, it spread the gospel far and wide. Number 7, they received great grace to do the work of the Lord. Verse 33 says, and great grace was upon them all. As intercessors, we've got to walk in wisdom. We've got to walk in the unity of the Spirit. And we've got to speak with the authority granted us. Pray for boldness as we utilize the great power that he's given us for the work of his kingdom. And he will give us the grace to endure. He is faithful to his own, my friends. He is faithful to his own. Every day, ask him for wisdom and knowledge, for understanding, for discernment. Ask him for the power that he gives, his dunamis power. Ask him for boldness and courage to walk the walk that he's created you to walk, to press through in prayer on behalf of our nation. There's a lot of exposure coming. And it's very important that we hold this nation together. That's what the Lord showed Mom. Joel's army intercessors pressed down, down, down into the tectonic plates to keep the nations stable in the midst of the shaking. Press in and press on. And God will do the rest. Because the hammer of justice is coming. And we're going to see our nation restored. We're going to see our nation reformed. We're going to see the revolution that the Lord says is here. We're going to see reconciliation, true reconciliation, and restoration come to our land. Why is that important? Because through this nation, God is going to bless the nations of the earth. And God uses America to bless and protect Israel more than any other nation in the world. So we continue to stand and stay the course. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, your discernment, and your understanding. Thank you, Lord.